Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers. FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment. Trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free. Okay, free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck Cointel Pro. Show, they got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we rise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, you think this shit won't be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free. Okay, free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck Cointel Pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, shit, that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black women and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police department to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
The same. I'm always ready to take a life again.
fight the world, I fight you, I fight myself. I fight God to tell me how many burdens left. I fight pain and hurricanes, today I wept. I'm trying to fight back tears, flood on my doorstep. Life to live in hell, puddles of blood in the street. Shooters on top of the building, government aid ain't relief. Earthquake, the body drop, the ground breaks. The poor run with smoke lungs and scarred face. Who need a hero?
Hero.
You need a hero, look in the mirror, there go your hero. Who on the front lines at ground zero?
Hero.
My heart don't skip a beat even when hard times bumps the needle. Mass destruction and mass corruption, the souls of suffering men. Clutching on deaf ears again, rapture's coming. It's all prophecy, and if I gotta be sacrificed for the greater good, then that's what it gotta
you
be.
Are we born knowing all? We growing wiser.
Are we just growing tongues? Can you read thoughts? Can you read palms? Can you predict the future? Can you see storms coming? The earth was flattered, you went too far, you would fall off. Now the earth is round, if the shape change again, everybody would have start lost. The average man can't prove up most of the things that he chooses to speak of. And still run research and find out the root of the truth that you seek of. Galas teach in universities and claim like they're smart and cunning. Tell them find a cure when we sneeze and that's when their nose starts running. And the rich get fixed up when we get cut. Wanna heal them broken bones in the bush with the wet mud. Can you read signs? Can you read stars? Can you make peace? Can you fight war? Can you milk cows even though you drive cars? Can you survive against all odds now?
It's crazy. When you feed people the truth, you don't know how they're gonna react. You're scared of wrongdoers, people that's just ignorant. You're scared of the truth. Be patient for now. Who wrote the Bible? Who wrote the Quran? And was it a lightning storm that gave birth to the earth and then dinosaurs were born? Who made up words? Who made up numbers? And what kind of spell is mankind under? Everything on the planet we preserve and can it. Microwave it and try it. No matter what, we'll survive it. What's you? What's man? What's human? Anything along the land we consuming. Eating, deleting, ruining. Trying to get paper, gotta have land, gotta have acres, so I can sit back like Jack Nicholson, watch niggas play the game like the Lakers, in a world full of 52 fakers, gypsies, seances, mystical prayers, you superstitious, throw salt over your shoulders, make a wish for the day cuz, like somebody got a doll of me, sticking needles in my artery, but I can't feel it, sometimes it's like part of me, but I got a real big spirit, a fearless, don't you try to grab hold of my soul. Like a military soldier, since 7 years old, I held real dead bodies in my arms, felt their body turn cold. Oh, why are we born in the first place if this is how we gotta go? Dang. To all the wisdom and knowledge seekers of the world. Savali. Patience. Yeah.
Black power, black power. You are listening to the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense nightly broadcast. We are airing all across the globe. We want to give a shout out to everyone that is tuned in, that is listening online, as well as those who have called into the studio to listen and participate. If you're listening online and you want to get involved later on into tonight's discussion, you may call in at 718-664-6398. That's 718-664-6398. If you're interested in joining the new Black Panther Party or following up on any of the information that was presented today, or if you want to make a contribution to the efforts and to the mobilization and to the advancement of the new Black Panther Party, go to our website at www.nbpp.org. That's N as in new, B as in black, P as in Panther, P as in party. That's nbpp.org. Tonight, we have our host for tonight, our chairman out of Houston, Texas, Brother Emmanuel. Let's get a mic check. Mic check.
Black power.
Black power. Black power. Tonight's topic, brothers and sisters, is saving ourselves. We're going to play a clip from Dr. Khaled, but first we'll have Brother Emmanuel explain to us why this topic is so important tonight and why we are going to jump into the need, the reality of saving ourselves. So without further ado, Brother Emmanuel, you have the floor. Black power.
Black power. And as we are taught by our ancestors to begin all important things, giving homage, respect, love, and honor to those who came in the great line of divine before us, those that will come after us, and most importantly, those that are here right now, presently. So I greet all my brothers and sisters with the greeting words of peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Well, alaykum salam, brother.
Thank you, sister. And we always teach and explain exactly what that greeting means, exactly what language it is. For those that have been here, you understand what it is. For those that are new, we welcome you. But tonight's topic is going to be geared toward the appreciation for those that have continuously listened in, who have been showing devotion night after night, month after month, year after year, to this educational platform. If you have been sharing it for a while, you would understand that right around the time the COVID-19 pandemic started showing its face, the general and the brothers and sisters was bringing this to everybody every Monday night. I myself and many others looked forward to it every Monday night just to get that education, that camaraderie, that connection with our people. And when this pandemic hit, we saw so many people run in fear, We saw people just reacting in all manners to this COVID, this pandemic, this disease, this death that was being promised to us would come and devour everybody that it came across. So many people were panicking. People were going this way and that way. And so the need came in for the people to hear the truth. And so, without warning, without letting anyone know, the general and the members of the Black Panthers, the new Black Panthers, set forth in motion a nightly, continuous broadcast. And around that time, I can remember we were also talking about the churches and how we have given all of our trust and our money, our time, our attention to the churches. And we have lived our lives based around what we were learning at the church. And we did understand that in this world, church service has been known to be every Sunday. Sunday is once a week, one day out of the week, and that's four Sundays in a month, give or take, based off of how the charts are. But you get the gist of what I'm saying. So one time a week, we were going to go to this place, and it's a place of reverence. It's a place of importance. Because we were taught that you wear your Sunday best. You get dressed up. Oh yeah, you don't wear no wrinkly clothes. They even had people that would fight with each other that at this church. They wore Sunday suits and they wore slacks, and the women had to wear skirts and couldn't wear stockings under them. But at this church, they could wear jeans and they could wear shorts. It was called "Come as You Are." The move was made, I say, in the 80s and the 90s around that time. Come as you are. They told them, you don't have to start dressing up no more. If you don't got it, we want you to come in. We were thinking, oh, yeah, they trying to save souls. But it was to get membership. Because at that time, a lot of people started to question, why do they have to do all this? And, you know, started to see the monetary damage that it was starting to cause many families by putting this emphasis on this day that we're going to put a lot of money into our appearance and give money away. We're just going to give flat money away. Just give it away. We're not looking for nothing to come back except for that reward in the sky, that pie in the sky, that heaven. Oh, yeah, we want to be able to say, well, you know, when it's all said and done, yeah, when I close my eyes and the Creator standing in front of me, he going to ask me, did I stand down? Did I stay down for him? Did I give my money? I'm going to be able to say, yeah, and you're going to look stupid because you did. So we in fear of this, just like Brother Mama and Brother George was speaking on last night and Brother Yah was speaking on last night about the fear tactic of the religion and how it was instituted into us being scared of heaven and hell. You scared? You don't want to go to no place where you're burning up. Oh, yeah, I want to go to a place that's it's nice, it's beautiful, it's pretty. So they gave us this fear tactic so hard that we wanted to represent it even when nobody was around. So we said, yeah, God. We was taught God could see everything. He's everywhere. Jesus is everywhere. They see everything. So when you die, they're going to bring up everything you've done. Everything in the bathroom, everything you did but behind the school building. You thought you was alone, but you wasn't. So explaining these figures to us like that made us believe we had something to fear because there was a camera watching us at all times. And it was recording. And it's going to hold the recordings when we dead and show them to us like a court system. And we're going to be judged on it. And if we pass, We go to this nice place. If we fail, we go to this bad place. And surely after all the bad stuff we done went through on this planet, we don't want to go to nothing bad or worse than this. So we were scared, and we gave that money. Preachers say, oh, hold up. We're going to thank the Lord for the blessing. We got $734. How much was it, sister?
$734, Pastor.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. Blessing. We got $734 this week. But the Lord just talked to me while I was sitting there, and he said there's somebody out there that is going to give the church an extra $1,000. I don't know how it's going to happen, but he said if I just act and if I just believed, if I just trusted and I spoke it, somebody would do it. Isn't there somebody out there that's going to give me $100? Let me get 10 people that's gonna solidify the word of God that he just told me would happen. Show me it's real. Let me get 10 people with $100. And you see all over the church, they just jump up. Your grandma jump up. That's the Lord talking to me right now. And he's testing me. And if I don't give that, ooh, he's going to hold back riches and glory for me later on. So I don't want to lose this. I'm going to go give that. Hold on, Grandma. That's our lunch money this week. That's grocery money for the week. The Lord, as you give, and he'll provide. He'll give you back more. Many instances, people did these things. Understand something. The way I come at everyone tonight is in the manner in which I am. I am your brother. So hear my words. Don't take offense to them because we all practiced those things. Don't take offense that you were one that practiced it or you were one that promoted it. We all fell short and came into this. We were all fooled into it. We all did Sunday best, and we all did church programs. There was a time when nobody had a choice. That was when you were a kid. You did what your parents told you, and their parents did what their parents told them. So all have been fooled in this land, just so we can understand that we need to really all help each other. So I'm bringing up these things that we did in church not to talk about it as a comical thing in a disrespectful manner, but to show how it really made us do these things under a manipulation. Now, we own that because we done spent all this time, we spent all this money at the church, free money, and bought all these outfits. We back up anything they ask of extra. The church is for selling cakes and pies at the church. They went from giving the plates away to some start selling the plates after church. Boy, if you didn't have enough money to buy that fried cheese, you just out of there. But you just gave away all this money at church. So anyway, this is the institution, and nobody wanted to offend these characters, Jesus and God, and then suffer the wrath later after they die. And everybody that died didn't get to come back and say, hey, man, you know, it was real, man. Y'all better do that shit. It's real. No, they didn't get to do that. They died, and we haven't spoke to them anymore. So we were so scared that, okay, since there ain't no proof, how do you know? It was that if, that wish factor, that wondering. And that's what psychological tricks are. Belief, hope, faith, trust. Those are all synonymous, the same as deceit. All those things leave room for a margin of not doing what you want to be done. Trust me, I'm going to do it. Why can't you just do it and it be proven? Can't you just prove it? Oh, man, just have faith in me. Oh, just believe in me. Why can't I know and trust through knowledge? Why can't that be the basis of all that stuff? Because if I have the basis of knowledge as my root, I don't need to feel any need to do anything besides knowing what it is I want, I'm going to get. Got to have faith in you. I don't got to trust you. I don't got to believe. I know it's real. Why can't you give me that? we've lived off of this institution getting all of these things from us and our own fear of the consequences that we don't know is going to happen, but we have been told, we have been led to believe in a commercial way, it's going to be hell fire burning, and there's going to be beautiful angels flying by you on one hand and the other. Which one you going to take? And many said, I don't want the latter. Some said, fuck it, they don't care about the latter. Many people say, right before they extract vengeance on the person that they killed their loved one, they say, yeah, I hope you burn in hell. Yeah, he going to get a double punch. When he did that to my Kimbo, he going to burn in hell. He going to rot in that jail, and he going to hell. That's what many of us start wishing on folks when we mad at them. We start wishing this comical place on them. Well, I hope your ass burn in hell. Rotten hell. Go to hell. Hell. That punishment place. That place that we scared to go to. We don't even want to feel it. Why? Because if the hell burn us like that, you already know in the physical form being burnt is bad. That's why they burnt the crosses. That's why they burnt us on the railroad tracks. That's why they burnt the houses down. That's why they burn. That fire destroys, and fire against skin destroys. And so, how do we get out of this system that we've been deeply rooted into? We have been made to believe, and we have given so much to it. How do we come out of it? Who's going to bring us out? We ask the question. And so we make the answer. And we say ourselves, but how ourselves? As the brothers were saying on last night and many nights before, there are many of our scholars who have learned it the right way and are here and have been here. As we gave honor to those that came in the line of divine, these are those that came in the line of divine people. A divine person is a person who would set things right that were not right, would balance things, would make things equal to you, make you into the best you can be. Those that have come and did these divine acts, we are in their shadows. And so for our babies, for ourselves, we're going to bring them to you at a time when we can bring our ancestors up from the dead. Bring them back. It's magnificent that this month is celebrated by other cultures as the month of the dead, the month where you remember all your past loved ones. And so we're bringing Khalid. We bring the many scholars of the past to you in these clips so that you don't just hear the words coming out of our mouth, but that you hear those that came from the past and that you imbibe in them into you and push it out into the future. That's how we live forever. And so one of our greatest architects is our general who we fashion ourselves behind, and the mind that he brought forth and allowed to be given to the people. Here tonight, save ourselves. This is the representation of that. That is the program. Restoration through reeducation is the whole operating system. All these platforms abide under that. For it is restoration through these forms of re-education that we need and that we give to each other. So tonight, save ourselves. We're going to give you our greatest selves, our ancestors, when we give to you on the new Black Panther Party show tonight, our General, the Honorable, the Great Khalid Abdul Muhammad.
Black Power, I want to, right before we play Dr. Collett, we have our National Minister of Culture on the line, Brother Greg out of New Jersey. Brother Greg, you want to say a few words before you play this clip? Tonight's topic, saving ourselves. Black power.
Black power. Excellent topic, saving ourselves. I know we've got people listening, so after the clip, definitely hit that number one, chime in. But I just would like to just share when we think and talk about, you know, saving ourselves, or any topic for that matter, I like to use those questions just to help me think more deep into it, to come up with a better and clearer understanding. So I like to present that to the listening audience about what we're talking about, saving ourselves. Saving ourselves from who and for who? What are we saving ourselves from? Why are we saving ourselves? And also how? What are we going to be implementing when we're talking about saving ourselves? And I know this clip is going to be a powerful clip. It's really going to lay out and point out some excellent points for us to think about. But as everyone is listening, let's think about this. We're saving ourselves. From who? How are we going to save ourselves? What are we going to do to save ourselves? And I'll share a little bit more after the clip, but that's all I wanted to share for right now. Black power.
Right on. I mean, let's just go to it. I'm a play. I think this clip right here should give us a good energy, a good vibe right here. Let's go. We haven't played this in a while. This clip is entitled "Goddamn Uncle Sam." Black power.
Merciful. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all the world. I bear witness that regardless to land or neighbor or language, there is but one God. It makes no difference which name you call him by. There is but one God. It makes no difference if you call on him in Chinese or Japanese or Korean or Zulu or Swahili or Xhosa. It makes no difference if you call on him in Hebrew or in Arabic or in Aramaic. God is one. His universe is one. The creation is one. His people, actually, one people. And it makes no difference. The devil is one also. By one name or in another language by another name, the white man is the devil. I preach to you in the name of Allah, the one God, and Muhammad the Messenger. Assalamu alaikum. We don't want to keep you long today, but there are so many things that are happening in the news today, in the world today. Every time we turn on our radio or our television, we find that there are reports of wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes in diverse places, AIDS and disease and pestilence all over the face of the planet Earth. And today, as young men, you must beware that the white man is no doubt, since he has put drugs in the community and the drugs are not killing you off fast enough. Since he has put a liquor store on almost every corner and in the middle of the block, and the alcohol in a white man is not killing you off fast enough. And since he has put a gun in the hand of every young black man that wants a gun and an Uzi and everything else, and since it's not killing you off fast enough, he might now set up a draft system to draft you in an unjust and an unfair war to go and fight people for him say. If he calls you, just say no. If he says that we need you in Iraq, just say no. If he calls you to Saudi Arabia, just say no. If he calls you to Grenada again, or he's now planning on Fidel Castro in Cuba, and he calls you to Cuba, just say no. If he calls you to South Africa to stand up against Brother Nelson Mandela and the freedom fighters of Azapo and Azania, those in Azania of the ANC and the PAC and the other revolutionary forces there in Namibia and in Mozambique and in Angola and all over the hot spots of the world, just say no. Wherever he calls you, just say, God damn, Uncle Sam, no.
Talking about us because we're from a distant land.
they would snatch their babies from their arms and dash their white babies' heads against the rocks.
Yes, sir.
It talks about how their women would be overcome and how their women would be destroyed. And so I say that we stand firmly with our brothers in the so-called Central Park joggers case.
That's right. That's right.
We stand with them.
Yes, sir.
We don't stand with the white woman.
That's
we don't
right.
stand with the white man.
That's right.
And actually, there is no court that should try a black woman or a black man in white America.
That's right.
We can receive no justice in the courtroom of the white man.
That's right.
The white man's system is set up against us.
That's right.
He will always set it up in a way where he will come out on top.
That's right.
So I just like the idea that she was possibly, I don't know who did it, I don't believe our brothers did it, but the fact that somebody beat her upside her head with a pipe, I feel all right about that. I don't care what you think about that. I feel all right about that. You say, well, that's not the thing to say. You just don't say things like that in this time. I'm glad whoever beat her with the pipe. No good devil. They used her for sympathy in the courtroom. Some mangy, nasty, disease-carrying, two-legged dog gets beat that they bring in the courtroom. What sympathy can I have for her? This book talks of many times when they lift up and we haven't done nothing to the white woman. How they would take us out of the courtroom and lift up. Take us out of the jailhouse and lift up. From the sheriff and lynch up over a white woman. And so now they want to lynch Brother Yusuf Salam and lynch the other brother. We said last week it's nothing but the Scottsboro case all over again. So it smells of Emmett Till, and the viciousness of it is the same as of Emmett Till. The substance and the circumstances surrounding it, they're not the same.
Go ahead.
I feel nothing when white people get what they are
doing.
The Bible says that there would come a time when all of the sins of their fathers and mothers would be visited upon them for generations in the future. The only problem with the Central Park jogger's case is that the dog didn't die in the park. That's the only thing. A bitch is a four-legged dog, no, that sniffs around under the tails of other dogs, trying to find a thrill in dogdom. Central Park is dogdom. 42nd Street is dogdom. New York City is dogdom. Yes, it is. So I can't have any feelings for this white woman.
That's right.
My feelings are for her.
That's right.
I just don't have that much feeling.
That's right.
I'm so consumed with feelings for the black woman.
That's right.
I feel for the one of brown.
That's right.
I don't give a damn about the white woman. Iraq attack against us. Did nobody attack you, fool? Khomeini, you remember when Iran and America were in it? Khomeini let the Negro soldiers come back. That's what I said, let the Negro soldiers come back. If you were black, you wouldn't even be a soldier. Unless you were in God's army or you were in a black army, you wouldn't be fighting. You just say no. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad did 5 years in federal prison. And it was a draft issue even though he was a year older than that actual draft cutoff age. He did 5 years in prison. These were five of the best years for the Nation of Islam in one sense, though it was painful in another sense, because he laid the base and the foundation for the movement in prison.
That's
during that time.
Right.
So if you go to jail, so what?
That's right.
If you go to prison, so what?
That's
right. I've been to jail, I've been to prison,
right.
I've been stripped buck naked with chains on my ankles and chains around my waist, chains on my head. They check every cavity in your body and look out under your tongue and your ears, make you bend over and spread your cheeks and look all the way up in you. But it's nothing but an extension of the slavery process. Our foremothers and our forefathers had to go through the same thing when they were brought here 400 years ago. Many of you want to be free, but you don't want to do what it calls for to be free. Many of you talk nation, but you don't want to build a nation. You still want to smoke. Boy, how you gonna feel a new nation running around popping on a white nicotine weed? That Dr. Francis Crest Wellesley says resembles the white male sex
organ.
If you're running around with this in your mouth, you better watch what you're putting in your mouth. Somebody call you to question about that thing. Popping on this thing. Foul on one end of the cigarette and a fool on the other end. And you talk about it's nation. Tell it's going to be nation time and you can't even recognize that it's time to put the poison nicotine weed down. Then the rest are drinking all the time. I have to have my glass of wine. What if you see drinking wine, fool? You saw the white man drinking wine. Well, the wine, it's good for the digestion. And a little bit of scotch and Harvey's Bristol cream. You just a white man's nigger in 1990 with a new haircut and a new t-shirt and a kente cloth, whatever it is. You have to clean up from this. Nation time, but you snorting cocaine.
Yeah, I got me a black white woman.
No. Too many serious things are happening.
That's right.
For us to go this route. If we were organized, they couldn't have done Sister Tawana the way they did.
That's right.
If we were organized, they couldn't do our brothers the way they're doing them. We need a strong cadre.
That's right.
In New York.
That's right. That's
not
right.
Just the picketing bunch.
Sure.
Standing around in front of somebody's store picketing
right.
them.
Right.
People don't care nothing about you picketing them.
Right.
Spike showed you what to do.
Right.
Where is your garbage can?
Right.
Throw your garbage can in the window. Right. Where's your fireball? You would have burned the Koreans behind out. And the crowd would have gathered around a handful and they stumped the Koreans behind in the middle of Flatbush or church or whatever street it was. And you made an example of his Korean behind, telling him to keep his hands off of black women, or you break his hands and break his fingers and leave him there like that. You don't have no problem. You can put up your ticket sign. We have got to build that kind of army in New York. A serious army. Not one that when something happens to us, we look for a way to excuse it. Well, it's not time right now. Well, when is it going to be time? Everybody should be scared when they mess over us. Everybody should be trembling when they mess over us. But we have to be organized. We can't get organized behind just anybody.
That's right.
There are some leaders, even Muslim leaders,
yes, sir.
Who say we should join the United States military. That's what they say. There are some Muslim leaders who say if America is attacked by a Muslim country or an African country, that they would fight on the side of America against an African country or an African nation or a Muslim nation. There are some Muslim leaders who say if you won't carry the American flag, I'll carry one.
That's right.
They got some Muslim leaders like that. That's what they call them. No, you got to say, God damn, Uncle Sam.
That's right. That's right.
And so Uncle No Way.
That's right. Come on.
You're his daddy. I cannot go into this war, brothers and sisters.
That's right.
I have to say sisters, too.
That's right.
They used
That's
to just grab you. Now they're grabbing her, too.
That's right.
When they call you, you got to let them know where you stay.
Right.
You got to let them know that if you grab me, I believe you are my enemy.
That's right.
You got to tell them.
That's right.
America is my enemy.
That's right.
Tell them I'm a Muslim.
That's right.
My religion forbids me to go and join in an unjust war.
That's right.
That's right. It's a violation of God's law and God's word. You got to know what to say to them.
That's right.
In fact, you got to know what to do if you are stopped or arrested by these devils.
That's right.
You can't run off in the mouth when the devil gets you.
Right.
You shut your mouth.
Right.
You're a soldier. We're at war. We are a captured nation. We have been held in captivity for 400 years in fulfillment of the prophecy of the Bible that we would be in this condition. Genesis the 15th chapter, the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th verse. And when you are captured by your enemy behind enemy lines, you only give name, rank, and
serial.
What do you give?
Name, rank, and serial.
That's your driver's license at best. If you ain't got that, that's your dog tag. If you don't have that, it's your ID card. Your New York ID card. Your Jersey ID card. That's your name breaking serial. Well, what about so-and-so? We're going to kill you, buddy. We're going to put you away, buddy, for life. You're really facing something serious here, guy. And they turn the lights on your television. Let me have your wild sergeant. You don't say nothing.
That's right.
Nothing.
Right.
Say, like to see my attorney.
That's right.
So we're going to lock you up and keep you there. We're not going to feed you. We're not going to give you no phone call. We're not going to do nothing. You say, come on with it.
That's right. That's right.
Lock me up.
That's right.
I'm not making no statement on tape. I'm not making no statement on video. I'm not signing a test there. What did I say God did? So once you sign it, God has damned
you. That's right.
You understand?
Yes, sir.
When you are stopped, when the devil approaches you and puts them with his funny sirens, they got to be a boop. As soon as you hear that thing and see the light, if it's night, you drive it or whatever, if you can turn your light on in your car before they get out, you turn the light on in your car. Let them see inside of your car. That means you got to be clean. You can have nothing
right
in your car. You don't want them to see.
Right, right, right.
All
right?
Put your hands on the steering wheel so the thief can see your hands. When he approaches, they're nervous. They're scared of you. Because they know that the day is coming when you're going to wake up. They know the day is coming when you're going to do what you're supposed to do. They thought this report was that. They thought that we had organized tight squads already. It was taking them out one by one with the pipe squad. Well, there will come a time when the pipe squad will rise. Huh? All color squads will rise. We're going to make up for what has been done.
That's right.
By God's command.
Yeah.
Not by mine.
Right.
Nobody will stand and give you orders.
That's right.
You'll have orders coming from a commander inside
right
of you.
Right.
And you'll know when to move and you'll know what to do.
That's right.
And you'll kill everything white that ain't right that's in sight.
Right.
Yes, you will. That day is coming. Put your hands in clear view. The devil is nervous. Normally they pull their guns.
That's right.
But they're scared of you.
That's right.
Normally they come with many troops.
That's right.
Sometimes they call for backup.
That's
before
right
they
right
stop.
That's right.
They won't get out. But they're scared of you.
That's right.
There. See your driver's license. You got to handle this. This is a savage. You
that's right.
That's right.
This is a savage.
Yeah.
So you got to say to him, sir, my driver's license are in my coat pocket or in my jacket pocket. Or my driver's license are in my hip pocket, my back pocket. My driver's license are in the glove compartment. May I get it, sir? That ain't no pump. That's a soldier talking to another soldier behind enemy lines, and for the time being, the enemy soldier has the upper hand. Has the upper hand. And so you say it's in the glove compartment. I'll have to reach in the glove compartment and get it. I have no weapons in the glove compartment. And you slowly reach to open the glove compartment. You open the glove compartment. He's still scared. I will have to reach in the glove compartment to get my identification and registration. There is no weapon, I remind you.
That's right.
In the glove compartment. Would you shine your light in the glove compartment before I reach in the glove compartment?
That's right.
Devil shines his light. You reach in slowly.
That's right.
Take it out.
That's right.
Get your license.
That's right. That's
name, rank, and serial number.
Right.
You give it to him. We have reason to suspect that you've been involved in a rape in Central Park. We have reason to believe that you so-and-so, and such and such. Don't you start talking.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
You don't say nothing.
That's right.
Because when he reads you Miranda, is that what they call it?
Yes,
you gotta write some ring silence, buddy.
Yes,
anything you say might be held against you in the corner of water.
Right.
That cracker. And anything you don't say might be held
that's
against
right
you. So you know anything you say is gonna be held against you.
Right.
You don't say nothing.
Right.
When they arrested me, about 80 to 90, maybe 100 FBI, GBI, and some other alphabets I hadn't even heard of.
Go
came out of the trees, out of the woods, out of parked vans, cars from behind the building, automatic weapons, the clicking of weapons. All you could hear was the staccato of guns clicking in the atmosphere. All over the place. Scared to death. The main one almost fell flat on his face, running. FBI, FBI, hands in the air, get your hands in the air. That's the way it comes. You gotta be cool, calm and collected. You make the wrong move and they fill you with holes like Swiss cheese.
Right.
So I stood there. First, just to be defiant, I just put my hands in the air.
Yes,
and this was just wearing this crack out. What you I mean, they just go off. Slowly, I raised my hand. And I guess he almost said, damn. I could shoot this figure if he didn't put his hand there. They might do it. But then you don't give up no information or nothing. Where you coming from? Sir, am I under arrest? Ma'am, am I under arrest? Where you going? Am I under arrest? If they say no, you say, sir, if I'm not under arrest, I'm not under obligation to answer any questions for you. I'd like to have my identification and be on my way.
Black power, we here, can y'all hear me? Black power, did we get cut off?
We can hear you, yeah, we got cut off.
Okay, we're back. Well, you heard it. You heard a very powerful clip. Yeah, you got enough food for us to roll with. Brother Emmanuel, Brother Greg, y'all have the floor. Black power.
Black power. And as Brother Greg said, honest to my comrades, all my comrades listening, all those that are involved tonight, I give you honor. So as Brother Greg said before the clip started, who are we saving ourselves from? You know, he said some magnificent questions that you should wonder when we give you a subject as save ourselves. And I'm not going to be long, but I'm going to be strong so that my comrades can come on right behind me and give their inputs on this, because we have many great teachers, and that's what we are. But as it's applied to how we represent this on this stage tonight and many other nights of our life, save ourselves. We're saving ourselves from ourselves. Why? Because we are now, we have been before, our own worst enemy. And in the story we brought to you about Job, and we were talking on the other night about why Job was the one that was being used in the program with the devil and God. It's because, as we say, save ourselves, it is us, each individual, that has the potential to accomplish all the goals that we set forth to accomplish. So Job was one who had the proper discipline that the Creator knew would be able to accomplish the task that was set before in front of him. And the task was to not curse his father and not go against his father. We heard how Khaled was just telling us that it is us who we have to work on. We are behind enemy lines in a war. And when you're in a war, you are training warriors. And a warrior ain't one that's just going out with a gun and shooting the gun or shooting the spear or shooting the bow and arrow. A warrior is many levels of being a warrior. There's the mental, there's the physical, there's the spiritual, there's the financial. There's many stages to making a complete warrior, you know, and In a war, you need warriors. So if you're building your children, yourselves up to be warriors, warriors need to be educated. That's one of the many things in the many armies and stuff. You ain't just going out shooting guns. You sitting in classrooms and you're learning from different instructors, different tactics, different solutions to different problems. And as Brother Khaled brought up tonight, how they were just speaking about what do you do when you get pulled over and stuff. Well, you know, at that time, he was speaking on how, yeah, you tell the officer, yeah, I'm going to reach in here and do this and all that. Well, we're going to add to that, you know, because these days we got different officers and different policies and procedures and different tactics. So when you're getting pulled over by the laws, you should already have your stuff out. You should already have your stuff ready when you get in that vehicle and get on that highway. Why? Because we are at war. And we know there are enemies out there that are looking for anything that we do as a way to get us, to make sure we don't make it home. There's another thing that a lot of us need to understand, but because we see it so much on social media and it's passed around in these videos, how people always pull their camera out when they get pulled over by the law and they give me a reason why and do all of that legal debating with the officer at the scene. And then don't understand why some of these situations go to court and they get handled right. Some of them get thrown out and you don't get no justice. It's because you need to know the actual procedures of these days, the procedures of your counties and towns that you're living in. I could tell you the procedures of Houston, but that don't go with the Baltimore Police Department and New York Police Department. So those that stay in Baltimore and New York need to learn. You need to become educated about everything you're going through. If you're going to drive on these roads, if you're going to, you know you're in this land and you know what we're against, then you have to take it serious as a soldier takes war serious. They don't come in that mud plane. And so when you're getting in that vehicle, you need to have all your stuff ready. Otherwise, you know you're doing like Pimp C said, you're riding dirty. And if you're riding dirty, you're giving the enemy an opportunity to do something to you, which is going to cause a domino effect for your people to stand up for you. Were you really in the right? Did you really do our people as a warrior would do for his tribe at a time of war, even the Reconstruction? And so just like Brother Mama was teaching last night on how the Bible, so many people get caught up on the characters that Noah did this and this man did this and this did it. Man, he said, man, forget the names and the characters. Did you get the lessons of the different situations? Parables are meant to teach lessons. And that's what Jesus was speaking to his people because he said, my people are going to need that. You know, and that's what he was letting you know. Don't get caught up on the things that don't really matter. We will never know if there was an actual guy named Noah, an actual guy named Moses, but did you get the message in the parable of the situation of what they were going through and how obstacles was in their way and how they got over those obstacles in many different forms. You know, they could say that the world was flooded back in the day. Many people could say no. They could say that the end of the world is going to be on fire. Many people could say no. But if you look at it metaphorically, the world can be flooded with all types of different kinds of knowledge, just like water, when a water floods and it consumes everybody that is in it, because we are not meant to be living in water at that type of level. So if we are flooded with water, we would surely die. And if the whole world is flooded with filth and bullshit as the water substance in that metaphoric statement of that parable, then it could be seen that, yes, the world at one time was flooded with all these things that would kill it all. And we would see now we're in a time of fire. Things are being burned up. That's what fire does. It consumes whatever it is, and it breaks it down to the lowest particles. And that's what we're doing with our education. That's what we're doing with the miseducation that was given to us. We're burning this whole world up of their lies and finding out the truth. So if they say God would be here and he would destroy the world with fire, couldn't it be seen that that's what's happening right now with my comrades when we all speak on these different subjects? Brother Mama said the power of definition was taken from us. So it is important for us to study and learn by our own people to define things properly in our ways. See what I'm saying? Because the separation, as Brother Greg was speaking about, the separation, the segregation, you are supposed to separate yourself from those who wish to keep you in mental and physical bondage. Any person on the planet should want to do that, period. So if we tell you to separate yourself from those that do evil, we're not telling you to do nothing wrong. We ain't telling you to go out there to that person that color, oh, don't like it and all. No, that's ignorance. That is discrimination. That's what that is. We didn't tell you to do that. We said separation. And separation means you have made the choice to go away from something that is not like you. And if the world has been taught in ignorance, it's a lot of them out here that are not like us that want the truth. It's a lot of them out here that are not going to understand what angle we coming from when we tell them we want to be treated right. That's what he was saying in another parable of the story when the dude was talking to Jesus and he didn't understand him. And Jesus was like, well, you don't understand me. It's because you're from your father and he's a deceiver. And I'm from my father. And so we can't get along because you learn things one way. All those that believe that niggas was monkeys and that they should be burned and done all these bad things to, you're not supposed to ride with that because you don't align with that. You being the person that's getting burnt and done all these things to, that's not an equality. So, of course, you're supposed to separate yourself from that. You know, and as Brother Yah was telling us, we have to go over it all. And that's what the book tells us. When we are reading it right, yes, question everything. Let all things be brought back up so that my children will know the best. Because that's one thing also, as Kylie was telling us how we're in the 13th, 14th, and 15th chapter of Genesis, it's also in the same book, it says, it is better for you to tie a rope and a millstone around your neck and cast yourself into the deepest sea than for you to mislead one of my children. So if God is a God, as we was taught, that don't like death and he don't like all that, he just told a person in this word that they can kill themselves. If God don't like suicide, it's so abominable. Well, he just said you can kill yourself before I would be cool with you misleading one of my children. Now, this is a nation, and this is a land that has misled many. So we don't want people to sit out there and say, oh, man, this hate rhetoric they speak it. Oh, he said, goddamn, Uncle Sam is America. Well, look here. If America made an institution at that time and still runs today that is not treating people in an equal fashion based off of their actions, their deeds, then that is an institution that would be damned by God. If God is the supreme being, the author of all things that are right and righteous and balance them, then yes, he would damn an institution like that. The people of the institution should also damn that institution and build forth an institution that is equal. So this is why I said at the beginning, I dedicate and I thank the consistent listeners. I don't knock those that are just coming in. I want you to become consistent too. But I say consistent listeners because consistent listeners go with what this topic is, restoring yourself to re-education. As we were saying at the beginning when we were only doing the show once a week, just like church goes once a week, but everybody put importance on church so much, well, we had to break it down because at a time when you really need help, you are supposed to get more than once a week. Once a week ain't enough to give us our holiness, to give us a complete understanding. And so the sisters and brothers brought this broadcast to you every night, every day, during the time of war, during the time that the people have been really needing it. We were crying out, needing it. We were needing it. And so we brought this to you night after night, scholars after scholars, knowledge after knowledge to give to you at a time when you need it most, when you're in a war and you shooting them bullets. Do you need the man that's bringing the reload to take his time? Do you need them to come by just once a week? No, I need you every day. And so we thank those that are trying to listen and learn every day on this platform and the many others. We praise your will to learn. We needed more than one day a week, and so we got that. We got the seven days a week, brought this platform because the education amongst our people during war times has been manipulated by the enemy, and so the power of definition has to be retaught to us. As my mom said, it has been given so thrown off that we are speaking the enemy's language. We put so much importance and belief into the church. We gave so much money to them. We gave so much of our time, our lives. We loved them even when the church wasn't around, for the fear of that hell one day, or the promise of the reward of heaven. When God tells you right here, your restoration doesn't come from the church building. It comes from you, the person. And whoever is teaching you, the person, to be your own and be better is my church. That is my temple that you are supposed to bind up with. So the organizations that you have right here that are giving this knowledge to you, the Panthers, you shouldn't allow people to criticize them, demonize them. You don't allow people to do that when you're talking about your Christ. You don't allow people to do that when you're talking about the Heavenly Father God. But you don't allow them to do that when you're talking about the church. But you have these organizations that are out here that are giving it to you every day and don't get your offering like you're supposed to. They don't get your time. You don't get dressed up when you come in that presence. You don't make a building. You don't go out and speak the words that you heard on tonight's show to everybody that is listening. Hey, man, so said it, Brother Yah. So said it, Brother Maul. So said it, Sister Crystal. So said it, Brother Cotton. You don't do that. But we repeat all the damn time what you done heard the preachers say at church. As Brother Mao said last night, we're hearing a lot of stuff and repeating it, but did you read it yourself? Well, this is the stage that is bringing you facts, and facts is love. Facts is what's going to be the solution to your problem. You bringing and making many other platforms that give your brothers and sisters truth and knowledge of the complete life they're living, they will live their lives right. It will not be the enemy fooling us no more. Why? Because when God damns something, nobody can stop it. You can't save it. That America that has done all of this violence, it is dying. It is at war, being burnt down. It is over. Nothing can save it. A new is being formed. And the new that's being formed is really truly based off of the people. And so you have had a group that's been screaming for the longest, power to the people. We were talking about how they make the movies about BMF, but they don't want to free Meechie, and they don't want to free Southwest T. They talk about the Hoovers and the greatness that our brother Larry Hoover could do, but they didn't ask for a pardon for them. And then you see, you got the greatness of Fred Hampton, the greatness of the Hampton family, the greatness of the Panther Party is all over, and how they collaborated, and you see they make a movie about that, but they don't praise the Panthers. They can make the movie and get the money off of our stories, and then add in their little pieces into it just to make it entertaining. And they make it entertaining to the world, but some kind of way, the world don't popularize it the way it should be. You brothers and sisters that are speaking should be referenced like your pastor, should be referenced like your deacon, like your choir leader, like your youth minister. When you hear someone say that that's what they are, Panther, you praise them. They are the tribe of Judah, as you would say. They're the lions. That is God's people that were brought on a westerly course, hit over the head at the east gate, and buried under an old rubbish heap of bullshit. But in their head, they would rise out of that. And you are the people that can bear witness. You have risen, and now you completely populate the whole planet. It's no longer just the North, the hills of North America, the North America. It's no longer that. It's because in the North America, what we were brought to would be the place where the resurrection and the restoration would come. And once that did, then the people would go forth and they would put this message all over the planet. These messages that we speak and we brought to you and that we continually speak, and that will be spoken in the future, are not going to be any new knowledge. It will be the same knowledge that all of us have to work together, live in unity. And unity is common, proper respect for each other's God-given lives. Live them together. Work through things together. You're stronger than being alone. And that is the simple recipe that these many parables, these many stories of life show people. If you yourself do something that destroys you, you did it. You can't complain to nobody. There will be nothing to pay for later, and there will be nothing to gain later. So when you give them a right heart. You go and run and give all that money, grandma gave all the money to the church, but you don't have community centers in your neighborhood. But you got fans screaming for it. You don't flood their bank accounts with money so that they can be at these different places, that they can have these different programs for the kids. They're sitting up begging you. But they're the ones laying their lives on the line to give you truth. But the institutions that have been proven that they accidentally lied to us and misled us, we're too scared to break from them. We too scared, like we said in the beginning, oh, I don't want to go to that hell. I don't want Jesus to turn on me. If this nigga lying, ooh, I'm taking a big chance. You taking a chance just eating. You can choke on that chicken bone you eating. You can die with that McDonald's sandwich that you eat and they had the wrong thing in it. They didn't put the wrong thing and cause you to have a heart attack. You get what I'm saying? We're living to die anyway. Stop fearing death. Start worrying about the life, because this is where the heaven and the hell is. As the many teachers said, it is in your mind. It is in your life. It is in the presence of each other. And we are living in a place where there are angels and demons. There are those that would do us right and those that would do us wrong. Us that want to do each other right and that want to do yourselves right. You must combine yourselves into your own pack and protect yourself. No, they're not going to tell you that that's the Medunessa. They're going to tell you that they're hieroglyphics because their illusions of superiority are only strengthened if you believe in them. That's why that's all they ever said. And that's why we got so caught up on getting dressed up and going down there and doing all these things. We got so moved. And we really started to believe that everything would be all right after we die. And so many of us, finding out now, many of us in the past got played. They lied. It ain't real. And I'm sorry. They got this little cartoon movie called The Sausage Party. And all the vegetables and the produce, all this stuff, was thinking that it was going to be cleansed by gods. We were gods, and they were being picked off the shelves. And when they leave out, they was gonna go to heaven. And when they left out, and they went to our homes, and how we chopped them up and did all this stuff. And one of the pieces of the fruit or whatever got back into the store and told them, like, man, these are lying. We ain't gonna be watch by no gods, nigga. We finna get done bad. Well, that is exactly what's gonna happen when you laying there on that deathbed and you feeling your body going cold, and they tell you ain't nothing after this, and you just gave all your money, all your life, all your energy to this building that was lying to you. Your community, your brothers and sisters that were out there, that were marching for you, you didn't give them a dime. You didn't popularize them. You popularized the Hollywood characters on the movies. You sent money to UNICEF. And the problems in your community are right there. You sent money to the college fund to send tuitions for Oxford. But the little brothers and sisters right here in the neighborhood can take that same education right in their community at the libraries. But you don't tell them to go there and learn it. You tell them, oh, sis, they can't afford the college. Don't worry about it. Don't even do it. Man, the same books in that goddamn place is in this library. Are you building us up? Or are you building the world up? And that's why it is up to us, only us, to save ourselves. And the only way to save ourselves is to re-educate. And re-education does not mean throw away the first education. No, re means do something again. If you arrange something, when you rearrange it, that is the suffix, I mean the prefix for the word, you're added on there, then you do the arrangement again. We have been blessed with opportunities to do things again and again. I come to you again and again. We come to you again and again. You come across each other again and again. But do you catch it at those times you come across each other? Do you reverence each other? When Brother Yah said on the other night, the Honorable Brother Emmanuel, brother, I was so confused. I wanted to be happy, but at the same time, I didn't even want that title. But it wasn't me that gave it to us, what the brother saw in me. And so when he made that reference, that's what he sees. And it's crazy that this world has taught me to not even see it in myself. I couldn't see it.
You know what, Brother Emmanuel? I'll be having the same feeling, Brother Emmanuel. I'll be having the same feeling.
Yeah. You hear me? Yes, I know you do. When we give you that respect, and we say gentleness and goddess and the honorable crystal, and people sit up and they from you, based off of theirs, they get a sense of that holiness from you, and so they give you a reverence of title. That's why I tell people off the muscle, they call me Brother Emmanuel, because I'm hoping that I will teach each other just to give each other that reference through force. Man, if I don't give you no other name, you got to call me that. So it's just like Jay-Z called his son Sir. He said he want people to just call him Sir from the beginning, so he made his name. Well, I made that my name so that brothers and sisters would see me as that. You know, so much as you say it would be that.
We're more aware of our faults. We're more conscious of our faults. And we don't do this for reverence. We do it because we love our people.
That's why we're conscious of our faults. Because we know y'all watching. We know the whole world watching. But we still go through the same thing. Look, let me tell you something. Jesus ate, slept, pissed, and shit. His shit stank like everybody else. He had good times. He had bad times. Let me tell you, when the story in that Bible where Martha washed his feet or Mary washed his feet, he was at the house for a house party. And that was something that they used to do back in the day. The guests of the house party would come, and the women of the house, the sisters and stuff, would wash their feet. It was just an honorable thing. And so he was at the party, and like we have parties today with dominoes and food and good times and all that. They had the same get-togethers, the same meals and all that. They barbecued the calves on the pit side. Man, don't believe we just started this. They were doing the same things, and he was sitting at the table kicking it in a village with a cat named Lazarus. See, Lazarus, these was his sisters. This is his sister that washed Jesus' feet. And it's his sisters that ran to get Jesus when they thought Lazarus was dead. See, so we need to understand, and that's what complete re-education, go back over the story, you'll see how live it is. It is telling you about situations that you will go through today. You are Lazarus, people. You look to everybody like you dead. You seem to be dead. They done wrapped you up in dead clothing, then dead wrappings and stuff, and everybody gave up on you. Y'all ain't gonna never be better. I was you thing gonna never. Just quit, give up. You look dead, but you're not. And so the daughters, the sister, the women are running. And they run to Jesus. That's why you got so many sisters in the church right now hooping and hollering. They going to go there regardless if the man come or not. And they done talk, oh, don't worry about no man. You better worry about your relationship with God. You better come on up in the guard house by yourself, single and all that stuff. Even though God said he wants y'all to be together. You know, if you can't get him, come on up in here like that. And you see, it's they didn't impress it. So many sisters, they bang that church up. They stay religious. Why? Because they know that woman. And so that woman will be your restoration. So the women ran. Then they ran and they cried. And when Jesus came, what did he do in the story? We're talking about the story now. He said, take me to him. And when they showed him to him, in his mind, he was saying he ain't dead. He looked like it. I understand he didn't go crazy on everybody. But what did he do? He did something so important. It's two words in the Bible. Jesus wept. He wept. He cried.
What, Khaled said, what could make the great creator cry? When he sees his creation done the way it's done, it looked like it's dead. Wouldn't you cry if you seen somebody put your baby in a casket? But your baby ain't dead. You would cry seeing the image of your baby in a deathly state. Don't got on the clothes that you gave him. Don't got the color of the skin you gave him. All type of stuff all over him. He was going through something that made everybody in the world feel like he was dead. And they knew that from the teachings of this cat named Jesus, from the stuff that he told us, if we could run and find him, he would heal our brother. Because Lazarus was their brother. So the sisters have to heal the brothers. And the brothers will heal the brothers, will heal the sisters. Because when he came in there and he cried and he said to his brother, he said, get up. You're not dead. They were all tripping. They said later, oh, he brought him back from the dead. He wasn't dead. He looked it like it. We're not dead as a people. We look like it.
That's
even
what
to each other. But the Jesus, the knowledge, the truth, is going to resurrect us, has resurrected us, has brought
come
forth
on,
and burned away this world of ignorance, and is bringing forth the new world for you, me.
Listen, let's talk about, I really want to get into the, you know, the discussion of how we must save ourselves, you know what I'm saying? Because we're living in a time right now where so much is coming at us. You understand? We are being in the stages of not only a global pandemic, but this pandemic is a biological attack against us to take us off the planet. We are being subjected to this government attempting to force poison into our people's blood. We're being subjected to this government and the corporation subjecting our people to, if you want to work, you're going to take this poison into your blood. That is not only going to alter your DNA, but cause your body to be weakened and cause you to die. There are actual, you know, manipulations of family dichotomy taking place when certain employers and certain states are actually putting laws into place to where if you want to go into a restaurant, if you want to go into a grocery store to eat, they're going to want you to show that you've taken this poison into your blood. We're living in a time right now where they have bought over 100,000 mercenaries and are giving these people $5,000 a month. And the so-called American people didn't get no $5,000 a month after being subjected to this biological warfare. People are being cut off from assistance. But the plague still exists. And it is not. This is not a plague that came out of the sky. This is a plague that was unleashed by wicked people. We're living in a time right now where we haven't even got a chance to give a full report on what happened at the border as we are still fact-finding. But I want to give some information. We had black people. How did 10,000 to 15,000 black people disappear from a border overnight? Overnight. Are these reports that the Haitians were being slaughtered and push back into Mexico true? Are these reports that we do know for a fact that we saw the men and women separated, that only certain people were allowed to come, those who had children or those who had someone here that would vouch for them? What about the political asylum that they needed? How are we allowing on one breath this wicked government to say they're going to give sanctuary to the Afghanistan's for political asylum? But what about the fact that the Haitian president was just assassinated a few months ago by the agents of Europe and the U.S.? See, we need to talk about today, and the things that are going on today is imperative. and how we must save ourselves. We understand and we appreciate all of the historical and biblical and Quranic references we have to build on. But now we must take those principles and put it into the language of the people today. There are so many reports coming to us about police brutality that is not being broadcasted on the news right now because the news is trying to control the narrative. And most of the mainstream media is quote-unquote democratically infused. So they're not going to, under this Trump administration, It's Biden administration, while Kamala Harris is in office, talk about the fact that this George Floyd bill was shut down by this U.S. Congress that is majority Democratic. The House and the Senate and the White House, the Democrats have the upper hand. Yet anything, any policies that relate to us black people who got Biden in office, because had it not been for the black vote, Trump would have surely won. The politics that's being played. I was talking to some comrades in New Orleans about, do you know that prior to 2005 when Hurricane Katrina hit, the people in New Orleans did not have to pay a property tax. And this has been known for decades. And that was set into place about 100 years ago so that the wealthy people would put their children into private schools and the public schools would be dilapidated. The infrastructure in the inner cities where the majority of the black people would live would be dilapidated, roads collapsing. When you go across the track into the Garden District or to View or to other areas that had a higher economic, the conditions would be different. But do you know that all of a sudden, after Katrina, when the majority of the people were displaced, wrongfully displaced, mind you, because they simply had to go across one highway. That's just like all they had to do was go on the other side of 288. On the other side of downtown and been in safety. But people were scattered all across the United States, mostly into Houston. This is how Houston is playing a role in all of it, this. Just like Houston is playing a role in what's going on with Haiti.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And it's no coincidence that Houston is the birthplace of Dr. Khaled. I'm a native born in New Orleans, but I live in Houston. Buddy Manuel is in Houston. We got some serious pressure and some serious political education to give our people to know that they need to be pressured. Is it a coincidence that the Congress person who has been pushing reparations, Sheila Jackson Lee, is out of Houston? Why? What is so special about this place down here? It has the largest population of black people in the metropolitan area. It's the so-called third largest city. With New York, you know, it has a very strong black population. But it has all the other ethnicities there.
Hey, General, you know how they made the movie about Fred Hampton. You know, a lot of people, even in the Panther Party, don't know about a brother in Houston named Carl Hampton.
That's right.
The situation happened, I mean, it mirrored exactly like Fred, how they came in, got our brother, how the people had stood up for him, how he was right here on Emancipation, Dowling Street, preaching and building the brothers and sisters up. You right. It's something major down here, and it's gonna take a lot of the education. We have a lot, but tonight when we speak to y'all, it's not gonna be enough. We're gonna need everybody to form their own classes and educate each other on the laws and the procedures
of the places where you at, what's going on behind closed doors. I'm telling you straight up from a man who sat right here and lost my son in the same city who I was so – I've been so active. Man, they had me all over everywhere doing everything, so many – and my son was murdered. And them laws told them to leave my baby alone, let him go, let him bleed out. Didn't help him with none of that stuff. I went down, I did so many things by myself. Because I couldn't get the big crowd to come stand with me. I done been put out of the city hall. I done been marked on their list. I done been all over their news stations, all over, everywhere, into their situations of bullshit, and I've uncovered them. That's what all of us supposed to be doing, because I promise you, don't wait until it hits your door to get in there. Because you're going to be caught off guard with a lot of this stuff that we don't even know. Like some of these things, people don't even know. We were talking about earlier how people pull out their cameras when they get pulled over to show all this stuff that you can do. Do you know that it is facts that during the actual situation, like let's say you get pulled over by the law, these are classes we need to be teaching our youth, how to get pulled over, what to say, what to do, how to act. When you get pulled over by an officer, and they ask you for all this stuff. You asking them, telling them why you pulled me over and all that stuff. A lot of us feel like we have those rights, but you're right. You do have those rights. But guess what? On the side of 45 and Tidwell, being pulled over is not a courtroom. So there ain't shit that you can do by talking about your rights when you pulled over. Guess what? That lawman is not a judge. He's the one who's going to send you to a judge. So your battle for laws and your rights and all that is going to go down in the court system. The situation when you pulled over right there is what Khaled was talking about. That's what's going to make you get home. That's what's going to make these police shootings stop, us being prepared at all points. You see what I'm saying? Because, as he said, the stuff from back in the day, yeah, that correlated to those things. And when we're talking about these things today, restoration to reeducation is going to come through a lot of learning. And this is not just 2 hours tonight. We're going to have classes in your neighborhood talking to these brothers and sisters, talking to the adults, just like church. And that's why I was bringing up church, not to knock it, but to say that was supposed to be the stage where we were getting all the knowledge of all these things that are currently affecting us. But by them putting a clamp
but
on
most
it,
of us
the churches don't tell
but
us
let's
no
say
more.
Let's say
so now these are the platforms that you're supposed to reverence like church and come get your knowledge from. And we're supposed to be giving
get
it out
knowledge.
All the way down to yeah. tactics when you are handled by officers. Because they don't see you like they're supposed to see you. They think they're judge, jury, and executioner. But they're not.
Yeah,
and
teams,
you
have
to
have no skin.
Being ignorant, it ain't gonna get you nothing but killed, and then we lost another soldier. Then you sit up and you leave people like us, the parents, sitting here looking crazy, and really done went crazy. Because I promise you this, ain't no fucking justice, ain't none, and this reality.
No,
maybe
it
can't come back. None of them, and they ain't gonna get back.
That's right, brother.
The only true justice you're gonna get is making sure 1,000 more of them make it home. Because when we got
right.
ours down, it ain't coming back. Don't let yourself get to this position to where everybody do think you done went crazy when you're just super passionate because now you see the problem. It's so serious.
Right.
Get at it before. Because I was at it before. I ain't just saying something I ain't do. I was at it before. That might hurt me so much. That my own.
Right.
But I had to give my own to the same battle so that I could feel everybody's same pain. So that we could know how serious this is. I teach these little young brothers, any chance we get the sisters, this is the ones that need to hear. We're the ones that's getting it from this stage, but take it back to the community and give it to them every day, man. They will love you because this is what we need. We, like you said, we don't just need the speeches. These speeches are to inspire us. But the actual works are to know what Chapter 1, 19, Article 8, B, and C says, when you talking about you finna go do something, you really need to know how to do it, what you can do, what you can't do. That's this world because it's a war. It's a war of all kinds of psychological tricks. This law is not for this county. This law is not for that county. It's the jungle. So we got to take it.
Man, check it out. Check it out. On that note, I was talking to, because we have, you know, I want to give a plug to one of our own brothers has his own black-owned gun and ammo company. And it's a black-owned company called Ogun's Firearms and Tactical, right? So I was talking to the different brothers and sisters, and the law in Texas as far as gun rights, if you had a felony, are different than those in the just next door in Louisiana. In Texas, after 5 years, you can purchase a weapon so long as you've been out. You can purchase a rifle. Let me be clear. You can purchase rifles anyway, as long as your felony has been gone and you've been off of parole for 5 years. You can have that rifle
on
your
home. Only at home.
Next door.
You do not walk on your porch, your patio, your driveway. No.
Right,
only
but But next door in Louisiana, artificial borders, it's 10 years.
Mm.
It's crazy. And then it's 10 years, and they got these other stipulations of, and if it was 10 years and if it was a violent crime, and it's, you know what I'm saying, where you go, but if you go to next door to Louisiana, Mississippi, they have even more lenient gun rights than Texas,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yep.
But if you go up, so it's very key that you know the laws of the land where you're in. And when we're traveling, you know, and we've been speaking to Brother Greg, I was always under the impression, and he can come into this, I was always under the impression that you didn't have no gun rights in Jersey. And he informed that that's not the case. But they have a much more strenuous process, you know what I'm saying? And I just opened up Brother Greg's mic. He came back on. And the reason why we're saying this is because we're bringing this up is because as we're talking about saving ourselves, and we're going to pick this subject back up on tomorrow, we need, and as Brother Maggie said, we need to know how to handle ourselves in the conflict when we're coming into conflict with the pigs. We need to know how to, we have to our language, you know what I'm saying? We have to keep building one another. We have people with, even listening to this call, we have people on different levels of consciousness. You know what I'm saying? We have people on levels of consciousness where somebody like me, I ain't been in the church house in 30 years. You know what I'm saying? I came into consciousness at age 19. I'm 49. And then there are those who just coming into consciousness just a couple of years ago or 6 months ago. So some things that are said, you know, relate to others in various ways. Being a revolutionary, being one who has no faith in the government system. I witnessed Brother Emmanuel go from, as I got to know him and I've seen the clips, he went to every level of government that he could go to get justice and found none for what happened to his son. From the courthouse to the city hall. And most of these families that we deal with that have been victims of police brutality or lynching or discrimination go through the same thing. How we know we get no redress, there is no justice, there is no righteous rule. This government is totally corrupt. From the White House all the way down to the city council, all the way down to the courts, even into the school systems that are funded by the government. They teach you to be a slave. To the hospitals that practice medical apartheid on you. We have to get back to where we had our own. We only got a few minutes. I think Brother Yaya is on. Yeah, I know Brother Yaya is on, been very patiently. But it's so much, like Brother Man, you said, so much to cover in such a short period of time. It was inevitable that we had to do a nightly broadcast. It was inevitable. And there's still so much we're going to have to lay out in regards to what's going on with this COVID. Mama, I started touching on it last night. We are not the same. You know how they say we got the same blood? No. We have 9 ether. The Caucasian is of 6 ether. I thought about what he was talking about. They say we have this ghost DNA. Could it be a soul that they don't
that's
have?
All he's thinking about.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to bring Yaya in. We got Emmanuel in. He's the only one in press one, although we got a lot of people on the line. It's a lot of people on the line. Before you come in, Brother Yaya, we want to, Brother Greg, was there something that you wanted to add? We're not sure how long it's going to go, but I want to.
But there's a lot that was mentioned and talked about. What you just finished off at in regards to, the gun rights and so forth. Up here in Jersey. Jersey is one of the strictest states in the country, and it's so strict that the impression that you had is you're not the only one, that it's so strict that it gives off that impression that it's almost virtually impossible or certain gun rights are just non-existent here. That's just how they just pushed it, just to give that impression, in my opinion, that people would just feel and become so discouraged that they won't even pursue, their guns. But it's not a difficult process. It's a very, very simple process, actually, to obtain your firearms ID here in New Jersey. It's just a matter of just filling out the form, which is probably the same form that you'll find nationwide. Simple questions, any mental health, issues and so forth. And once that application is filled out, on the application, actually, they're asking if it's going to be your initial firearms ID. You need a replacement or so forth. But if it's your initial one, it's very simple. And they give you the choice in the box pertaining to handgun permits. And you could apply for as many handgun permits as you want, but you're not allowed to purchase more than one handgun every 90 days. So the average person would probably, put in for 3 handgun permits. I say that assuming they have the funds already available to just go ahead and purchase, the firearms. But typically about 2 permits a person would ask for. And but once that application is submitted, you automatically receive an email within maybe 2 minutes giving you the choice of where you're going to go get your fingerprints done. And, once that's done, it costs, I think, $55 or $65 for the fingerprinting. That's the most expensive part. The actual firearms ID is $5, and it's good forever. Each handgun permit is $2. So once the applications are put in, unfortunately, in many cities, specifically Newark, is labeled the worst city in New Jersey because you're going to wait months, which normally would something that would take 60 days can take up to 8 months, like mine, for example. But it's very simple to fill out. It's just being patient and waiting. That's basically it. As far as long guns, once you get your
and
firearms,
that's crazy because in Texas, you get it the same day, bro.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? The same day.
And again,
you can't get a handgun if you have a felony.
And again, that's why I was saying that you would get that impression that it's virtually impossible or it's just non-existent in New Jersey because night and day compared to Texas. But as far as purchasing, long guns. You can purchase them all day long, every day. You don't need an individual or separate permit for long guns, only for handguns, in New Jersey. So, but again, for anybody who's listening that's in New Jersey, it's a simple process. Application takes about 2 minutes to fill out. The fingerprinting, once they send it, the state police send it back to you. Most of the information is already filled in. You just got to choose your date and time for your fingerprinting. So within, less than 10 minutes, you can fill everything out and submit it. And unfortunately, again, it's just, waiting months to get your firearms, ID. Pretty simple. It's pretty simple, up here. But as far as concealed carry, no, unless you are ex, law enforcement I found out the other day, possibly, you know, ex-military, you know, personnel, judges, you know, they, of course, they, you know, they're the ones who sign off with concealed carry. If you work for a security company, most of the time they would ask a person or require a person to work for them for a year, and that's only to become an armed security guard. And with that, it's either one or two letters they would present to the judge. One is temporary, meaning you can only carry your firearm during working hours. And the other one is unrestricted, meaning you can carry your firearm, you know, on, you know, all times of the day. But most security guards, they really don't do that because, again, New Jersey is one of those sticky, you know, states. You know, you get questioned, why are you carrying a firearm while you're not working, even though you have authorization to carry it when you're not, you know, on duty. But, you know, it's not that difficult. Really, really not that difficult.
It sounds like a topic for a whole new show on knowing a gun rights show. You know what I'm saying? That's going to be that's like we have this subject, you know, saving ourselves. And it's, you know, no doubt a series. It's just like Brother Emmanuel's vision of the education, of re-education being a series. I mean, it's so many things that we must deal with and address. And we want our audience to know, you know, that, you know, this platform, you know, is constantly evolving. We put our minds together. This is not scripted. You know, none of us are sitting here with nothing in front of our heads other than like when we presented to you, nothing that's pre-scripted other than the facts that we might present to you, like an article or something that, you know, a current event or insert from a book. But the majority of the information that you are hearing, the passionate presentations are coming straight from the hearts of our comrades. And, you know, and that is key. And that is, you know, also the way we want this, and we make sure that we allow this broadcast to be, you know, we have people that are on, that are listening. We have people that call in and participate on a regular. And we have those that every night, they just sit back and listen. And I know Brother Greg is, you know, is always motivating y'all to press one, and we will always do that. But with that being said, we're going to keep it rolling until they cut us off. We got Brother Yaya. Let's let Brother Yaya, who's very patiently been on, put his words of wisdom out. Brother Yaya, can you hear us?
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam,
brother. I'm grateful wanted to respond to Honorable Brother Emmanuel that I tend out my hand and actually asked every other person that is a descendant that has of a United States colony, like Guam, also known as Guam. We as the Chamorro people have the opportunity to request the years of the United States Senate due to the United States not signing the United Nations Declaration of Aboriginal Rights Act. And I am trying to advocate for the safety of our children in a way that does not hurt our communities or our families or our women. And that's been a long journey. And I am grateful, and this is what I write and say all of the time, because it is gratitude and the love and diligence to our elders and our children, but the gratitude of knowing that although I am separated by this same systematic campaign and multi-dimensions that are separated all our families in the last 4 years, I'm able to say that I don't know if they're okay, if the children are okay, but I know that they are alive I can feel them. And I wanted to share my condolences, Honorable Brother Emmanuel. And I believe you when you say you have gone to every court. Then I would like to extend out and give you my right that has been reserved due to the United States not signing the United Nations Declaration of Aboriginal Rights Act, can at least be, have the opportunity to be heard by the Senate. And I just wanted to share that from the heart, that that is now your opportunity, because it's just an application that, yes, the heartbreak and the constant worry and the constant mourning makes it difficult to focus and be able to follow diligently. And I heard and listened to Honorable Brother Emmanuel say that not confuse my passion or sense of urgency. Do not psychologize us because no one is qualified. I believe Dr. Joy is qualified, and I believe that Dr. Joy, representing Africa and Pan-Africa, stands alone, and that it's time that we look at what reconstruction is going to mean in regard to the symbiotic relationship between all policing systems, the Southern Poverty Law Center, and their inability to process their internalized racism and incorporate the actual hate groups that are causing all of this damage into their hate group list and remove the new Black Panther Party and the Not Effing Around coalition from it, if it's on it. And I would like to conclude that it is the courts, the judges, the attorneys, the people that demand that $500,000 is what they need to live off of, and what Honorable Brother Emmanuel and the knot at my throat that you can listen to and hear in my voice need to be listened to. And Brother Emmanuel, Honorable Brother Emmanuel, it is time to present to the United Nations, and it is time to go to the African courts. And this is where I ask, where do we begin after those few of us that survived? I have been involved in analyzing my own attempts since 2012. And yes, their mechanisms are using psychologists. Look what these people did in Facebook. They're already having their own psychologists begin to present their own data. So how are we going to represent Pan-African consciousness when it is everything, and even the National Psychology Board itself? When Bob Marley wrote, "Three little birds are at my doorstep singing sweet songs," then
yes,
they were psychologizing him. The National Psychology Board needs to Pan-African scholars that have the best interests of the entire planet to step in. And that's where the interception needs to happen into court systems in order to reconstruct police, because we have protested those that have been murdered, and we have protested those, but all of those of us that are kept alive, all of us that have been shot inside of the courtrooms, we're not victims, we're survivors. Alhamdulillah. Survivors. I would like to just simply share, conclude that I am extending out what should be also your opportunity to ask the United States Senate, as an original African of the planet, alhamdulillah, and may the peace of the Creator be with everyone. This is love in our hearts. Love in our hearts. Alhamdulillah. May the peace of the Creator be with you.
Sir.
Black Power? Whoa, I think that's a record. Well, look, we're still rolling. We are 13 minutes in. Brother Manuel, you got the floor. Those of you who are still on the line, you can still participate by pressing 1. We will keep it rolling until they cut us off. We've been talking about saving ourselves. We're dealing with so many topics, from holding one another accountable. But let's just, you know, I want to just say that we have all the examples, from the spiritual, religious examples. We have so many battles of rebellions that have taken place. But I want us to also pay attention to how our people in the motherland are addressing those forces that are coming against them. We heard a report on how the colonial invaders were pushed out of southern Africa by those nations. We heard from Brother Emmanuel Brother Yah speak of us taking our issues before the United Nations. We've heard from Brother Emmanuel speaking on how we must get in the trenches and teach our people the proper give classes on how to deal with the pigs when approached. We need to be dealing with knowing our rights. We talked about, what else we talked about? Knowing our gun rights. We need to look at everything that is, you know, I spoke on and I continue to speak on, us defending ourselves when it comes to this biological and psychological and political warfare being waged on our people regarding these vaccines. It goes on and on. We haven't even touched on the school-to-prison pipeline. I mean, there's topic after topic. But in all of these subject matters that we're talking about, it's going to require self-determination. It's going to require us to be political. It's going to require us to be political approach and present our demands, to be at the local or international, that we are coming forth not as a people that are approaching these institutions as they are almighty, but with the demands that this is what the people demands and wants. This is what we demand and want. And we need to be able to back that up. We need to be able to back it up in how we are strategizing behind the scenes, how we are mobilizing, how we are connecting. There's too few of us doing too much. What economic resources do we have at our hand? Who can be trusted, who can't be trusted? Who are proving themselves? As the brother said earlier, who's shown consistency? Who folds when pressure is up, when the pressure's on? And who stands firm and deals with the challenges? All this will come from our own work. You praying, and you're not getting up to doing the work to make it happen, will be futile. Every one of us wouldn't even be on this radio broadcast tonight listening or participating or speaking if we did not have a heart for the liberation of our people. I know that there are a few enemies that are listening. And even with them doing that, they have a negative concern about the hearts and minds of our people. Yet the concern is still there, because you're hearing everything that we're saying. And I would beg to differ that it's not affecting you, because I know it is. If it's affecting you, if you have the wrong interest for our people, to the fact that it's angering you, we're good for you. If it's affecting you to the point where you're going to try to plot on our people, you will not be successful. While you had every, who do they pull out? They pull out the celebrities, the entertainers, the politicians, to try to convince our people to take this poison. And we said, hell no. You can't buy us. You can't scare us. If you take our life, we will do as Marcus Garvey and still come out and inspire and motivate and do the things in the realm of the Egon Goon. We got to save ourselves, brothers and sisters. You looking for a savior? You looking for a savior? Go look in the mirror. You looking for a savior? Turn to your brother and sister. We all we have, we all we need. That is not a cliche. That is an absolute fact. And the things that we're going to need to get our people in the condition, in the position that needs to take place is going to come from our great thoughts and actions and plans and strategies and execution of those things that we've strategized to do. Yes, we will have and always have the help of the Creator and our mighty ancestors that do open doors and that we are connected to that have us on these frequencies to where we feel each other from across the planet. The brother on the island, the brother up north, the sister down south, the brother down south, the folks that listen across the seas. It is no coincidence that we're all on the same frequency at this moment. It is indeed by divine design, but it's also because it's time. It's our time. What are people listening to and watching tonight except something that was programmed and put on the television, on the radio? And you're listening to people who are coming from their hearts, who are genuine. Support the New Black Panther Party. NBPP.org. NBPP.org. That's you know, we 20 minutes over time. Passing the mic, Black Power.